Praise the Lord. Oh, let's give Jesus some praise in this place. Amen. Woo! Yeah. Wow. Boy, is the Lord good or what? Amen. You all do those drive-by blessings like that, don't you? I mean, y'all, that is so nice of you. Man, I'm serious. My wife, and there's no we about us painting, okay? It's a her. She's painting. There's no we. There's no mouse in my pocket, you know. She's the one that does all this painting, and she wanted to tackle that job. And I didn't know, Pastor, you listening. Sneaky guy, you. That was so sweet of y'all to help her do that. You know, my hand does not fit a paintbrush. I mean, you know, it just doesn't. I'm not good at that kind of stuff. I can preach and tell a joke, but I can't paint. Amen. And y'all are going to bless her, because I thought we were going to have to take money out for therapy. I really did. It was really bad. But that's just the way you all are. You are such a blessing. Listen, there's this scratch in my car that I need. What? I'm just joking. Come on. Lord is good. Amen. And I just got to tell you, Pastor talks about these relationships with churches, but, you know, when I go, there's something that comes into me when I get here. I'm serious. You know, when I could sit with Pastor, I'm listening, you know, I'm listening to a pastor who is very seasoned, navigated some things, encourages me, you know, and we laugh a lot. And I love coming here. And then I get to come in here and I get to watch. I observe things. You know, the excellence. You know, y'all just don't just show up. This just didn't happen. Y'all realize the excellence that goes into what your church does? I mean, clean, nice, attractive. You know, now for us, you know, those of us that are mature in the Lord, we go, well, we don't need, you know, we sometimes pop off and go, I don't need that. But, you know, the world out there, you know, it says that, you know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so we're mature enough that we don't have to have a lot of these things to make us serve God. But to that person out there, it could keep them from coming to Jesus or coming to church. And they look on the outside appearance. They look at how we conduct ourselves. And I mean, look, this looks nice. Look at that. When did y'all get these wood floors? These were not here last time. This is not, I mean, just, but it's just, you know, we don't realize this is part of glorifying God and excellence, you know. And I don't think the chairs were done last time. But, you know, I'm a little concerned that if I walk by these chairs, you will lose me in the chairs here. I'm concerned. Where'd he go? He's been raptured. We've been left behind. Oh, no, you know. I was concerned. I mean, it's just everything looks nice. The music. I mean, these folks practice and the worship. I mean, you can tell, you know, they just come. Let's all who will come to the choir. It's not that. These folks have taken time, they don't get paid to do this, and they do it because they want to glorify Jesus and get you into the presence of God. And I really think you need to, let's let them know how much we appreciate them. I'm telling you, that just bless me, you know? And I love a church that is willing to make the investment in that to reach people, to, you know, create the atmosphere. I mean, I really, church, I appreciate that. I really do. And I mean, all this nice stuff. I was looking at this drum cage. We looked at that. That is a nice drum cage. I'm telling you, that, I just got to talk about it. That is just beautiful. I mean, y'all don't realize that is a nice drum cage. And I was just talking to the musicians. Listen, if it doesn't work out that this works as a drum cage, I think we could fill it up with water, put some fish in it, and have a nice aquarium for the church. What do you think? So when we're done using it, we'll just turn into an aquarium. Just my observation, that's all. Well, I think it's time for me to get in the Word and stick to the business of what I'm here for. Amen? Okay, come on. Turn to Psalm 47 with me. Listen, while you're getting in your Bibles just for a moment, let me just tell you about a couple things. I had an opportunity to share the Saturday morning, but for those of you that weren't there, I really want to share this. There are some things that I really believe are important. I believe that teaching people the Word is important. Once they hear it, it changes them. And, you know, as Pastor said, I really do. I really try to give myself to studying and searching things that will help people how to make it apply to their lives. I really work hard at that. And I want to encourage you to put something in your listening library. You know, I told the group yesterday morning, you know, I'll tell you, Pastor and I, we, you know, I'm pretty sure this is probably the same with him, but we spend a lot of money on materials to help minister to people. We're researching. I mean, we can dump thousands of dollars just to minister to people. It's amazing because we're wanting to get the word in people. And when I look at a book, I don't buy a book or get someone's teaching because I think it's worth it. Well, I don't know if I'm sure that teaching is going to be worth it. I don't buy it because I think it's worth it. I buy it because I believe I'm worth it. I believe our marriage, it needs to be invested. I believe my kids need it. I believe my church needs it. I believe it's an investment in us. And I hope that you think the same way whenever there is pastor's teaching or he's preaching the word, you're taking notes, you go back, you buy the CD, you listen. Not because you think it's worth it, but you're going to know I'm worth it. My mind, my peace, my deliverance, I'm worth it. And so when you go back there tonight, I want you to invest in yourself. But there's a couple of things back there, and I only brought three things with me, and I really think they'll bless your life. This one is called, this is CDs. This is only CDs. This is called Happy Family, and I got the idea from this. The Holy Spirit talks real bizarre to me, okay? But I got this when I went and ordered at a Chinese restaurant, and it's called Happy Family. Okay, I'm just trying to support my people, okay? That's all I'm trying to do, just trying to support my people. And crazy how God speaks to me in ways to deliver things. And yes, they also do delivery. And but the Lord spoke to me this, and I started looking through this menu, and I started applying the word to it. I looked at the menu, and I started naming things after me, like Shanghai. I called it Shanghai Family. How there were ways that the enemy attacked the very first family in the garden, and the process has not changed one bit. Not one bit has it changed. And as a result of us being ignorant and not arming ourselves with the word, he's still coming into marriages and families and kids. And I show you ways how Satan will try to Shanghai the family. And then there's one on here I call, this is ladies, this is going to bring the best out of you. I'm serious. I called it Sweet and Sour Surrender. Because to the world, when you say the word submission, it's sour to them. But they do not understand what true submission does. And the blessing that really comes on you, and that's not just for ladies, but everybody, when it becomes sweet and you understand the power of what God blesses when we surrender to him. It's just really, really, really good. And this is for the brothers, and it really is one of my favorite things on the menu. It's combination low men. Not supposed to be combination low men, but combination low men. When men learn how to bring themselves down to serve, how it elevates their wife and brings the best out of them. You know what I've discovered? A lot of men divorce the women they create. Sometimes people will divorce the person they created. And the Lord begins to show us how we can be creating an atmosphere in our marriages by bringing ourselves down like Jesus Christ. See, the problem is people. The reason people can't find Jesus is because they're looking too high. Jesus can't be found sometimes because he's down so low, washing feet and serving people with no strings attached. That was a great message right there. Ushers, come again. Let's take another offering. Amen. That was great. Great. And this one's called One Ton Soup. My youth pastor talked with parents and teenagers on how to navigate when there's tension within the relationship with moms and dads. Really, really good teaching. And then my daughter came up with this title, and I thought she was out of her mind, and the Holy Spirit used her. But she said, Dad, do one on, not cashew chicken, but cashew children. Cashew children? I thought, have you been smoking something? That's what I wanted to say to her, you know? And I said, no. She goes, Dad, really, cashew chicken. And so I started studying cashews. It was crazy. The analogies out of the word on cashews. I didn't realize this, but cashews have a toxin on them that before, if you eat them, it's like poison ivy or poison oak. If you eat them, they can kill you. Cashews, they're actually a seed. And you know what? They have to roast them just right in order that you can make them edible, eat them, and enjoy them. I didn't call it cashew children because I think your kids are nuts, okay? I didn't do that. But really, seriously, there are things that kids, the seed of your child, can be toxic in this culture, or if you begin to train them right, God can take all the toxins off of them that the culture can taste and see that God is good by the way your child is raised. How many of you believe our culture needs families that are happy and joyful in the Lord? And I just wanted to say that because I really think it's important. I really do. And there are a couple others out there that are just really good. This one's called Falling Up from Rejection, Falling Up from Anger, Falling Up from Fear, and then one's called Living in the Sweet Spot. It's just good stuff. It'll bless you. And if you want all of those, if you want one of each of them, it's $50 because I'm just a nice guy. Say amen. What is up with y'all tonight? You all have been such a blessing. Amen. Come on, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God today. I have been talking about a new you in a new year. Hey, go back. If you weren't here Friday night, go buy the CD. I talked about why God told the children of Israel, this is a new year for you. And how did that relate? What brought them into a new year? What brought them into a new adventure? This morning, I talked about a new you in a new year. Tonight, I want to talk about a new song in a new year. I'm going to show you tonight from the Word of God that one of your most powerful weapons against the enemy is your praise. Your praise. Sometimes, let me tell you, you don't have to sit there and plead the blood of Jesus. Sometimes it doesn't require you having to fast. Sometimes all it takes is for you to open up your mouth and begin to praise God, and it will defeat your enemy. How many of you are ready for that tonight? Amen? Amen. So let's go to Psalm 47. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, here we go. Psalm 47 verse 1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with a voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob whom he loves, Selah. God ascends with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm." Now, before you sit down, I need to put a disclaimer on this service. Now, there may be some folks that you have walked in, and this may be your first time to ever be with us. Or you may be from a different church family, but you're here for the first time. I need to let you know about this church and this service, okay? What you need to know tonight is that you have walked into a Psalm 47 church. A church that believes in clapping their hands, singing the songs, and shouting with voices of triumph. You didn't just walk into a Psalm 47 church, but the reason why it's a Psalm 47 church is because it's pastored by a Psalm 47 pastor. And it's not just led by a Psalm 47 pastor, but I'm going to tell you, when we get up here in Sunday morning services and in services like tonight, you can tell they have a Psalm 47 choir that believes that when they begin to engage God with clapping of hands and singing songs and shouting to God, there is something that happens in the heavenly atmosphere that sends the enemy fleeing seven ways. And tonight, this service is being preached by a Psalm 47 preacher that loves to praise God and look for ways to praise God in a Psalm 47 way. I'm looking for a place to sing, to clap, and to shout. In fact, when they started singing their song tonight, oh man, I wanted to get up and bust a move. And I'm telling you, when you walked in this place, you looked down there and you saw Grandpa over there, and you could tell he was getting excited in the song. He was ready to bust a move, but he understands the insurance at this church is not that good. Because if he tries to bust a move, he might bust a hip. But I will tell you this. That man that you see with his hands raised in the air, worshiping God, clapping and weeping, you may think he's bordering senility. But I'm going to tell you what he is. He is a Psalm 47 pawpaw who is married to a Psalm 47 meemaw because they remember the day when Satan had their lives and their family was wrecked. And now they know God has set them free. It's no longer in bondage, but he liberated his family, liberated his home, changed his life. And there's only one way they can respond is in a Psalm 47 way. So church, if you believe this is a Psalm 47 church with a Psalm 47 pastor, with a Psalm 47 choir, with a Psalm 47 people, can we break forth in Psalm 47 praise and lift God up in this house one more time? Lord, take all this praise. Take it all. We're going to watch you do some stuff tonight, God. You're going to do some amazing, amazing, amazing things because of the song coming out of their mouth. Woo! Now high five your neighbor and say, it's going to be a bad night for the devil. Just high five him. Yeah, I can hear you doing it. Yeah, huh? Yeah, listen to all those hand slaps. Don't miss and hit somebody in the head. All right, just be careful. You can have a seat tonight. Woo! Now, everybody, let me just tell you something here for a second. You know, whenever you start talking about this kind of stuff, people just go, oh, that's just emotionalism. Just working them up. They're just working these people up. When that Hammond, is that a C3? Is that what that is? See, I know the organs. Hammond C3, Hammond B3. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Hammond B3, you know, that's what they used to play in some of them old rock and roll groups, you know, when old Leon starts playing that little whirly jig gets to going. I can feel doodads, heebie-jeebies going up and down my back. I tell you what, in fact, if you'll do a study, you will discover that the Hammond organ is the exact same measurements of the Ark of the Covenant. That's why it's so anointed. It is. I'm just... Don't believe me on that, okay? That's not true. That's not true. I think I'm going to get lost in the chairs now. Okay. But let me just say this for a moment. You know, I have been raised in this atmosphere where this is very comfortable for me. I was raised, if I can, let me give you the context of my background, because some of us come from different backgrounds. Some come from Catholic backgrounds, Christian Reformed, Baptist, whatever, or you just got saved, didn't have any kind of a background, and you walked into this and you wonder, man, is this really for real? Is this, you know, I was raised in a Pentecostal full gospel church like this. I was raised in that. And they were pretty free when I was a kid, you know, worshiping God. And they would have Psalm 47 services and clap and sing and shout. And I mean, the place would just free just to worship God. I mean, just loved it. And sometimes it became controlled chaos. And they would get so happy. Back in the day, I mean, especially way back in the day, they would get so happy in some of these Pentecostal churches that they would have services where they would say the women would shout their hair down. Now, some of you old timers, some of you that went back and know old Pentecost, how many of you know what I'm talking about when they said shout their hair down? Let me just see your hand. Okay, couple of you know. Some of you just said, I need educated on this, Pastor. Well, I'd be happy to educate you. See, back then, what happened is they'd shout their hair down. But see, back then, the ladies' hairstyles, how many of you remember when the ladies' hairstyles were those big old beehives, big old hairdos? They just spiral into infinity. And by the way, the glasses, those are back. Let me just tell you, the glasses, those are back. I'm just praying, God, don't let that hairstyle. But you remember, girls, when they'd pile that hair and they just get a big old bun? But really, back the old Pentecostals, they thought that a woman's hair was her glory, so they never cut the hair. And they would just, there was only one way for it to go, and that was up, man. You just pile it, swirl it. Birds would be nesting in there, and they just swirl into infinity. And they had that big old bun. You remember that, girls? Back when they lived in bundage. You remember that, amen? Big old bun. And that thing. Well, they'd start praising God. That's right. They'd start praising God, and they got all them bobby pins. Well, the problem was that the structure of the hairdo could not keep up with the stress of Psalm 47 worship. and they would start dancing before the Lord, Spirit of God. They just get happy in the Lord. They would start rejoicing and dancing. Well, the problem was that old hair would be going like this, and you know, they would be going this way. Well, their head was so top heavy that their hair would be here, but their head would be here. And they'd come out of the spirit enough to say, hey, my hair's over here. So they'd try to get their head back where their hair was. But the momentum was so fast that the hair was here now and the head was here. And all of a sudden, boy, the bobby pins start coming loose, and here it comes, baby. I mean, it gets loose, and all of a sudden, seriously, you'd see these bobby pins start shooting across the auditorium like missiles coming through, man, and kids were diving under pews. I'm just kidding a little bit. And pretty soon they get so happy in the Lord that they weren't worrying about their hair, and the hair would fall down, and they would say, the sister shouted their hair down. Well, how many know we don't have shout your hair down services anymore? Because, ladies, how many of you thank God you have better hairstyles now? Amen? Better hairstyles. We don't shout our hair down. However, you know, and I don't say that that is the indicator that you're spiritual, but there was a liberty to express in Psalm 47 worship that sometimes, I got to be honest with you, you know, in full gospel, spirit-filled, what do you want to call it, charismatic, Pentecostal churches, it's almost as if people wanted to push away from that expressive, exuberant, explosive worship to God. It's almost like, you know, we started getting blessed in our full gospel churches where, you know, we started becoming the attorneys. We started living in just as nice as homes as people who said, I want to stay away from that. It's almost as if, you know, they felt it was unnecessary anymore because somehow expressive, explosive worship of Psalm 47 would somehow scare people away from our churches when we worship like we worship. And so some people started pulling away from it because they felt like it was unnecessary, because we don't scare people away. Well, you know, I kind of got a little thing about this. Where are you going to scare unsaved people to? Where do you scare them to? Hell one, hell two, hell three? What are our options? Come on, amen. What do you always... And it was almost as if it was unnecessary to respond in a biblical, physical way in worship that God put in his word. It was almost kind of like, you know, that kind of worship, I, you know, that goes against my finer sensibilities. You know, it was almost that kind of worship was for those simple-minded people then. You know, we don't need to do that. You know, we're corporate executives now. We hold good, great jobs, and it's no longer to respond that way. You know, that kind of worship of Psalm 47, that's for the spiritual redneck. You know, that's who that's kind of for. It's for the ignorant. It's for the simple-minded person. We've evolved into something. You know, it comes against our finer sensibilities. I want you to know that when God puts Psalm 47 praise in there for us, it not only gives us great joy to worship him, but I am telling you, there is such a power against demonic forces when you start enjoying your worship and your praise and you just begin to respond to God in Psalm 47 worship. I believe the devil does more to stop believers. Now let me tell you while I take time to explain that just for a moment. You see, I think everything we do in the body of Christ, we ought to do our best to explain. I have discovered that when we no longer explain why we do what we do, here's what happens. We stop doing what we have done. And another generation no longer wants to respond that way. I believe you've got to give people explanation for what happens, why you do what you do. And I'm going to tell you that how many know that praise, and even biblical physical praise, is ordained of God? It's not something that's pastor's idea or my idea. It's God's idea. I mean, look what Psalm 8:2 says. It says, from the lips of children. So how many know God wants us to get it early? It says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. Listen, I believe what Satan does is he has done more to silence the praise from the lips of God's people. I believe he does more to push it away, to make people think, oh, I don't want to do that. It's against my personality. It's just not my style. And I believe he's done more to stop praise because he knows that when you start praising God in worship before him, something in the heavenlies begins to silence your enemy, your avenger, your foes when you start praising God. I believe the devil knows why we should worship better than some Christians know why we should worship. He knows the moment we do it, folks. He knows the moment that we begin to worship. He knows that the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, stop when we stop worshiping and praise. You get in churches sometimes, they are fussing and fighting in these worship wars. What kind of music should it be? It should be fast. God moves in fast. God moves in slow. God moves in light. God moves in all of it when we worship him, when we begin to praise him. And see, here's why we need to worship God. Satan knows why. Look at that scripture again. He says, from the lips of children and infants, you've ordained praise because of your enemy. It doesn't just bless you. God says that when you begin to worship God, what does he do? He shuts the mouth of your enemy. When you worship God, what's the problem is this, is we got too many silent saints and we got a speaking devil. When we ought to have a silent devil and a speaking group of saints. And he says, you know, when you need to teach it, you need to teach it young. I believe this so much. I believe this so much that in our nursery, we have totally changed our mindsets. That at 6 months of age, we are starting to train kids at 6 months how to worship God. We're taking the teachers and teaching them that when they see the Bible and they have a little picture of Jesus, they hug the Word of God at 6 months old, so they start loving the Word of God. At 6 months of age, we start turning the music that when they hear the music, their little hands start going up to start worshiping God. See, here's what I believe. I believe that praise is so powerful that when a six-month-old in our nursery who's messing their diaper, can't even talk, starts praising God, God shuts up the demonic forces by the praise of a little bitty child. Come on, folks. How many believe that? The devil knows that when you worship God, you silence the avenger. You want to shut him up? Just start praising God. You know, in my journal, I start putting these goals down for my life for 2014. You know one of them I was? I told you one of them this morning, you know, that I'm not going to keep rehashing offenses. I'm going to live them once and move on. But another thing that I decided I was going to do is I want to get up every morning and I'm going to find something to start praising God about. You know what I praise God for today? You know what I praise God today? I praise God for my friends today. The value of my friends. I said, God, thank you. I'm going to make a decision to pray. How many know there's something you can praise God? Oh, I got nothing. You can praise God for something? You know, it's like the little Sunday school teacher. She said, okay, kids, I want you to write down what you're thankful for. Just write down what you're thankful for. You know, what you're thankful for. Little five-year-olds, and she was expecting, thankful for my puppy, thankful for my dolls, thank you for, you know, little Johnny, he wrote down, I'm thankful for my glasses. Now, no kid wants to wear glasses. She said, son, she goes, why do you thank God for your glasses? He says, well, I thank God for my glasses because when I have my glasses on, the guys won't hit me and the girls won't kiss me. I'm going to go buy my son a pair of glasses right now. I'm going to buy my boy. He's 21. I'm going to buy him some glasses. You know what I really believe? I really believe that your praise is so powerful, folks, that we do not understand that when lips comes out from a child to a senior citizen in this room, if you can start praising God for your unsaved kids, start praising God when you don't have money, start praising God with the worship of your gift, start praising God, you will start shutting the enemy up just by thanking God. Can we just praise the Lord one more time and shut the devil up and silence him tonight? Amen? Just silence him. Woo! Okay, so, but, I've come to the place, so, okay, if we're going to do this, why do it? But I believe there is a reason for it. So let's go through Psalm 47, and let's look at it just for a moment. Psalm 47:1 says, oh, clap your hands, people who feel like it. Oh, clap your hands, what, everybody? Come on. All peoples. Now, why? I'm going to tell you why we clap. You know, why do we do that? Pastor, he's just got to clap. You know, we just clap. You got to understand why we do that. You got to understand that. What clapping does in the Word of God, when you see it, is clapping attracts. When we applaud, it attracts. The word clap there, when you see it, that word clap means to express joy, appreciation, watch this, or encouragement. It literally means to encourage as if you are welcoming someone as if they are entering in a room. Man, I'm watching this, you know, you get, see the Grammys, and they're applauding everybody. They applaud celebrities. You know, they applaud heads of state. They applaud when a president walks in. But I watch Christians that when we see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, His Holy Spirit, coming into a room, some people just sit like floor lamps and say, can the choir impress me? I'll finally start responding when they have a 15-minute guitar solo, laser shoot across the room, and the choir hits a high C. Ah, and then I'll... Friends, how many of you know that when we begin to clap, we literally express joy for the presence of God. We show, Holy Spirit, we appreciate you being in here. And we're saying, Holy Spirit, we encourage you to come into this service. So when you clap your hands, you are literally attracting and pulling the presence of God into your situation. You're shutting the devil up, but you're drawing the presence of God. How many of you know that the special guest is not Sam Reifkogel? How many know the special guest is the presence of Jesus Christ in this room? Come on, why don't you say, come on, we welcome you. Come on in, Holy Spirit, and have your way. Clap your hands, all you people, and bring him on in. Come on, greet him, welcome him. Welcome him. Now, watch. Okay, you get that. You greet, you welcome. It opens up everything. But there's something else it does. Clapping not only attracts the presence of God, but I want to show you something out of the Word. Your clapping attacks the enemy. I want to show you two situations in the Word of God. I want to show you something where clapping has a spiritual effect. In Lamentation 2:15, judgment is coming on Israel because of the disobedience. But I want to show you that clapping was involved with this. Now, I want you to see this. It says, all who pass your way clap their hands at you. They scoff and shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Now, watch. The nations in this passage are clapping their hand in disdain at judgment coming upon Israel. You see this same word of clapping used again in Ezekiel 6:11. When God told Ezekiel, I want you to pronounce judgment upon the people, watch this, because of their disobedience, I want you to carry it out. Here's how he told him to carry it out. Go and read it. Ezekiel 6:11. He says, I want you to strike your hands, clap your hands, and stomp your feet. He said, Ezekiel, your judgment, the judgment I'm sending is going to come through you striking your hands and stomping your feet. That word clap there is not one of encouragement, joy, welcome. That clap is different than the clapping of Psalm 47. That clapping there means an act of disdain. To ridicule or to mock or to scorn your enemy. Listen, when you clap your hands, you are not only welcoming the presence of God, but you are saying to Satan, we mock you, we scorn you, we carry out the judgment of God upon you as we lift up his name. See, you got to know why you're doing what you do. Now, here's the crazy thing about this. Pagans even understand this spiritual principle. But I can't get some Christians to get this. But pagans understand the principle of this. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever seen sumo wrestling? How many of you have ever seen a sumo wrestler? Okay. Yes. I just put that up there so I could spoil your dinner at the end of this service. That's the only reason I put it up there. That is nasty. Just let it sink in for a moment. While you're thinking about your New Year's resolution about a diet, just let that sink in just for a little bit. That's where we're going.
This is preparing us for our purity weekend.
Yes, this is it. That I think I'm delivered right now. I think I'm set free just looking at that. When sumo wrestlers, you can take it down because it's grossing me out. It's just grossing me out. Now, I want you to watch this. If you've ever seen a documentary on this, there's something that sumo wrestlers do that's very serious to them. What they will do before they enter into the arena, what they will do is they will go in and they will take their hands and strike it twice. They will take salt and throw it like this. The salt is to appease the pagan gods. And then what they will do is they will face each other. I felt like God was calling me before I went in the ministry to be a sumo wrestler. I really did. I was on my way. I got that thigh master and it messed me all back. Oh, never mind. Any of y'all still have that thigh master? You remember thigh master? Okay. They will strike their hands. When they strike their hands in sumo wrestling, they believe that when they strike the hands once, they are driving away the dark spirits. They believe they're driving away evil spirits. They throw the salt to appease the gods, strike their hands to drive evil spirits away. Now get this. Pagans understand the principle. They get it. Even they understand the principle of that. Now, how many know it doesn't work for them? How many know that when the devil sees, you know, this guy who's big enough to hate and dumb enough to enjoy it, you know, when he sees him come like that, how many know all the devil sees is, you know, a baby in a huge oversized diaper playing patty cake? I mean, that's what he sees. This is no threat to the kingdom of darkness. It doesn't do anything, whether they understand the principle or not, even among pagans. But what God is trying to tell you is that when we say clap, we don't clap just so we can bridge the gap between two songs in the worship set so we don't experience a lull in the service. The reason why we clap is not to say, hey, choir, you did a great job. The reason why we clap is we are bringing the power of God in this room. And we are saying, Satan, we send you fleeing seven ways out of this building, seven ways out of our family as we bring the judgment of God on you. We mock you, we scorn you, but we are God's people who are silencing you, and we are overcoming you. Come on, church, let's do it again and turn the weapon back on the enemy. Hallelujah. 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 Clap your hands and stomp your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, you say, why stomp your feet? Because Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Oh, praise God. Sometimes I get happy and just stomp my feet. Clap your hands, all ye people. Now, how many know that's why we want to clap? Amen? Now, let's go to the next thing. It says, oh, clap your hands, all peoples, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. It says, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Why do we shout? Why do we shout? Shouting is an aggressive faith act. They would shout into battle to make a declaration of where they stand. It was a sign of, you know, what was that one movie? Braveheart. When you see the shout, it was an act of intimidation, but also an act of declaration. When we take the times to shout the praise of God, there's sometimes pastor will tell you, when it's right in the right vein, or you hear Pastor Leon, they'll say, now let's shout our praises to God. Clap our hands. What are we doing? We are aggressively having a faith act that God is going to rule over this issue in my life. We declare that God is victorious over all things. Now, you know what? It's just amazing to me how people can shout at football games but not shout here. Well, you know what? We're in church and we need a little bit more dignified. Hold on just a minute. I always think about this. You know, we're going to watch the game a couple weeks and we're going to watch people give their offering of thousands of dollars to sit there. I mean, I watched some of these folks this year, I mean, sit there in blizzards, packing out huge stadiums. Did you see those? Was it Philadelphia? I mean, deep snow, blizzards. And we got church folks saying, oh, it's going to snow tomorrow. I don't think I can make it. I'm just saying. But it's so amazing that you go down, you know, I mean, what are you doing when you shout at a game? When you got your little grandson, Throckmorton, he's 6 years old. What's he doing? You're sitting there shouting at him. You're encouraging him. You're telling him, go, son, go for the goal. Can I tell you what happens when you shout the praises? It's a declaration. It's an encouragement. It's an aggressive faith act. I want you to look at Psalm 68, verse 1. It says, watch this. I want you to look at this. Some of us are saying, well, I just don't think God's doing anything. Hold on just a second. Psalm 68 says this in verse 1. It says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. I want you to look at this again. Let's look at this again. It says, let God arise, and when God arises, what happens next? Enemy's gone. He bolts. Watch this. Everybody that hates him flees from him. So, you know, people say, I just want to get the devil out of my life. I just want to get the devil out of my life. Let me say, you know, it shouldn't be the question is how to get the devil out of your life. I know how to get the devil out of your life. You got to get God to arise. The real question is then how do I get God to arise? Because I know that if I can get God to arise, I'll get the enemy to flee seven ways. How do I get the devil out of there? So, you know, I understand pleading the blood of Jesus. I bind you. Say, wait a minute. I can tell you a way to get him to get out of there. Let God arise. Well, then how do I get God to arise? How do I get him to arise? Psalm 47 verse 5 tells us how you get God to arise. It says God has ascended with a shout. What that picture was were the Old Testament kings, when they would start arising and they would go up the steps to sit on the throne, the people would shout as they would arise to their authority and their position. Can I tell you what happens when you begin to shout the praises of God? When you take that time just to praise God and declare his word in his name? Here's what happened. God ascends and arises above the situation, folks. And he arises and ascends when you lift up the shout of praise. Man, why do we give everybody permission to do it in a football stadium, but we don't give them permission during a praise and worship service when we say, man, let's shout unto God. Churches, I mean, I thank God this church is one of the most expressive free churches. I wish people would grab a hold of this. Man, you do it. So, you know, people say, well, it's just not dignified. Come on, dignified. You're going to watch that Super Bowl, and what are guys going to do? They're going to catch a good pass, make a good drive, and they're going to come back to the huddle, and what's going to happen? The rest of the guys, here they are, these macho guys. The guy's going to come back in the huddle, and they're going to do this to him. After he makes a good pass, catches a good drive. They're going to do this to him. Watch. He's coming to the huddle, and they're going to do this to him. You will not see me after preaching a good message, Pastor Joel come up to me going, good message, Pastor Sam, good message. You won't see that. You will not see that. See, why is it that we let people slide like that? Where they make a mockery that this is uncivilized, it's primitive for spiritual rednecks. They will pay multiple billions of dollars and do that and come in here. Do you see us doing strange things? I mean, come on. They're watching the back end of a pig's rump go across a white chalk line. Everybody's out there bucking and snorting. They're shucking and jiving. They're all shouting. I mean, do you see anybody in this place with one of those dumb foam rubber fingers going, yeah, Jesus, he's number one. Do you see that in here? See, I believe the enemy. Listen, see, I'm going to tell you something. They will sit there and shout at their little grandson's soccer game and sit like a floor lamp in the house of God. Let the devil walk over them. When there comes a time when you need to clap your hands, you need to shout the praises and get God to arise in your marriage. Get him to arise in your home. Get him to arise in your healing. Come on. Let's let him arise with a shout of praise. Hallelujah. With a shout of praise. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Man, Jesus is here. Wow. Oh, I'm going to come out from among the chairs now. Wow. Now, let me show you something. Listen, see here. Oh, Let's go back to this. Let's go back to the scripture. Come on, Psalm 47. Now listen to what God says. He said, okay, now y'all getting this. At clapping attracts and attacks, you're seeing that shouting is an aggressive faith act that gets God to ascend among the shouts of his people. He arises over the situation. His enemies flee. They scatter when you get him arise in your shouts of worship and praise. Now watch what he says in verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Sing praises only when it's a song that you like. He says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with skillful psalm. With skillful psalm. I like that word, skillful. Boy, when I was a kid, there were some people, they would preach this way and they would sing this way. They said, did you practice? No, I'm just going to open up my mouth and let the Lord fill it. I could not stand it when Christians in church would give God their second-rate worship and second-rate preaching and not study and not... When you listen to this choir, you can tell they are skillful. They have taken the time to discipline it, to bring us in the presence of God. Man, it used to irk me. They wouldn't practice, and then you get up and sing, and they start singing. And because they didn't study the words or practice, they would forget the words when they were singing. And so to fake everybody out, they just start crying. Act like they're in the spirit. I say, oh, sit down. You didn't practice. Quit faking us out with your cheesy thing up there. Sit down. God says we as believers should be skillful and give everything to the best of our excellence. We should do it better in the church than in the world. Boy, I love what Pastor said. If you weren't here Saturday, did we record that Saturday, Pastor? I don't know, but anyway. But he was talking about Saturday morning, yeah. He talked about Mayo Clinic, how everybody, the special attention, and he was talking about how it ought to, you know, be in the church. You know, I started thinking about that. We were talking about it. I said, you know what? Something's wrong. I said, the corporate world should be coming to the church to see how to take care of people, not us going to the world to see this is how it should be done. We have the heart of Jesus. We have the servant's heart. We ought to have the heart is, we're not, you're not here for us. We're here for you. We ought to have, I believe we ought to have better greeters and put Walmart to shame. Because there's one crazy old man there that's kind of got me worried a little bit. How did I get on that? Skillful, that's what it was. Okay, I'm going back to the chairs, man. I'm going back to this. Skillful. So why do we sing? Why do we sing? Watch this. Your song can birth a miracle. Your song can birth a miracle. Isaiah 54, verse 1. I love this. When God says, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman of her than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. God is saying, don't wait till you have the miracle to start praising God. He says, burst into song, start shouting for joy when there is nothing being produced. Start waiting. Stop waiting for the circumstances to change before you... Listen, anybody can praise God if you've won the Ed McMahon sweepstakes and the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. You can start praising God and your mortgage gets paid. But I want to see people who can sing when they're 3 months in the arrears and when they're sitting there going, I don't know how the bill's going to get paid. I don't know how I'm going to pay the next bill. I don't know what the future is, but I'm going to praise God. Anybody can praise when it's going good. But it's the person of faith that sings when everything is desolate. And he says, burst. What he's trying to say is your mouth can get you out of this. How many of you know sometimes our mouth can get us in big trouble? How many know our mouths can get us in big trouble? You know, it's kind of like kind of like the guy, he was speeding down the road. His wife was beside him. She was just knitting away. They didn't get along, Cop pulls him over. Cop pulls up and says, hey, buddy, I had you clocked at 80 miles an hour. His wife just so real quiet, just knitting away. He said, officer, I'm going to tell you, I had the cruise on. I was going 60. There's something wrong. I had the cruise on 60. She's over there knitting. She goes, honey, you know that cruise control hadn't worked in the last 10 years. Officer pulls out his book, writes him a ticket, hands it to him. He says, would you just be quiet? Would you just be quiet over there? Would you just be quiet? Officer says, and by the way, buddy, he said, I noticed your seatbelt wasn't on. He said, well, officer, I took it off right when you pulled up because I was reaching my back pocket to get my driver's license. She says, you know that you never buckle up while you drive. Officer writes him another ticket. He says, would you please shut up? Officer says, ma'am, does he always speak to you this way? She said, only when he's been drinking, officer, only when he's been drinking. There's sometimes you just need to zip it, you know? Just sometimes just shut up, you know? But God says, there are too many of you being silent and Satan is speaking when you need to shut him up with the praise he ordained. You may not be able to quote the scripture yet. You may not know what to say. But I can tell you, if you can begin in the middle of the circumstance when everything seems to be going wrong, when it seems like you've lost your love, when it seems like the marriage is falling apart, when it seems like everything's going wrong, if you can, oh barren woman, oh barren man, begin to break forth and burst into praise because God says, this is going to turn around through the songs of your worship. How many believe it's time for a turnaround as we begin to sing the praises of God? It's time. It's your turn. Come on, you've been watching everybody else sing their song. It's time for you to sing your song. You know why I really think the devil? I'm coming in for a landing. I'm gonna shut this thing down here. But you know why I really believe why Satan hates it when he hears you and me sing, clap, shout? You know why I really believe it ticks him off? You got to look at something for a moment. When you look in the scripture, you know, there are three distinct angels that are named, you know, in scripture that you see, kind of where you see Michael, you know, Michael's in there. He's a warring angel. He's the protector of Israel. He wars, he fights, he defends. You see that. And then you see Gabriel, you know, he's mentioned in the Word of God. He's always the one that's bringing the messages. He's the messenger, you know, you see it. And there's another one that's mentioned. It's Lucifer. His name is mentioned there. And his name means deceiver. But do you know what he was? The Bible indicates that he was the director of the music ministry of heaven. Go check it out. When you look in Ezekiel 28:13, Isaiah 14:11, the Bible says that when God created him, he created within him pipes, organs. He would begin to lead worship. He would lead the hosts of heaven in worship. And I'm gonna tell you, it started getting the attention a little bit. He would lead them in worship, adoration before heaven. And then Satan declared in Isaiah 14:14, he said this, he said, I will ascend above the most high. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the most high. I will be like God. See, here's the issue, is who's going to ascend? Who's going to rise up? He was the ministry of music. And you remember what happened? He said, I will go above the clouds. I will ascend above the most high God. You remember what God did? God said, I saw Satan coming down like lightning. God says, oh, buddy, you are not going up. You are coming down. And he cast him down. Now, as far as I can tell in the scripture, Gabriel still has his job. Michael still has his job. The minister of music got kicked out of the heavens. And as far as I can tell in the scripture, God has never replaced him. He lost his job, and I can't find where God has ever replaced him. I'm telling you this, the job is open. And I have been reading the Kingdom Classifieds. And the Kingdom Classifieds indicate to me the prerequisites to be able to qualify for this. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, I got to graduate from Juilliard. I still don't clap on 2 and 4. I clap on 1 and 3. I have no rhythm. I can't do anything. I can't get this. Oh, no. It's open. And the requirements, it's just really what God has done. He's really lowered the bar. All he's looking for is a chosen generation, a royal priesthood that will show forth the praises of God, that will clap, that will sing, that will shout his praise and allow him to ascend. You say, well, I can't, the only time I'm on beat is when I cross it, Pastor. There is no way I can't do it. I can't sing. No. Listen, all you have to do is if you can suck in air, you've got the job. If you can just suck in air, you've got the job. You don't have to be on key. You can be off key. You can be on rhythm, off rhythm. All he's looking for is anyone who hath breath. He said, let everything that has breath, anything that can suck in some air. He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Does anybody out there have breath in your body that you could give God one more great shout of praise and thank God for what he's doing? Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, Jesus. So, Brother Leon, could y'all come on up here for a moment? We took his job. Not Leon's. Leon's, he's not the devil. You took the devil's job. You took his job. You say, well, Pastor Sam, he stopped my personality. God's not interested in your personality. Well, it's just not my style. Doesn't care about your style. What he wants to know is, will you obey him and shut your enemy up with your praise? Will you do it? I want you to stand with me for a moment. So let me just ask you this. who out there right now, who's out here that you say, Pastor, I am in opposition with the enemy. Now, I understand that, you know, not everything's the devil, but I know he takes advantage of situations. And some of it's just direct opposition. Some of it, he just takes advantage of situations going in our lives. But who standing out here tonight says, I need to shut him up on this. I need to silence him, Pastor, on this. On something going on right now in our lives. Could be in your life. Could be in your family's life. I need to silence him. Because if you don't silence him, guess what? He keeps ascending above the Most High God. But when you begin to praise him, God has gone up with a shout of praise. All right. Who says, I need that? Let me see your hand. Who says, I need that tonight? I need that tonight. All right. Come on, let's stand up here. Just come on. You raise your hand. Just come on. Just stand right out here. Hallelujah. Woo! All of my pastors and our pastors and our elders, your deacons, right, that pray for us, both deacons, elders, pastors, come on up here. Just come on up here with me. Just kind of come around this front up here. Boy, I tell you, this is good stuff. You say, what are we going to do next? I don't know. Lord is so good. Lord, so good. You know, how long are we going to have sleepless nights over some of this stuff? You know, how long are we going to let this just keep affecting our joy? You know, how long are we going to let this keep robbing you and me? You know, people that get in our business and, you know, kids that won't respond the way you want them to respond. A job that's not working out, a prognosis from the doctor. How are we going to respond? I say we respond to the enemy. And say, we are going to tell you what God is going to do. And we are going to silence you. You don't have to sing good. You don't have to copy me. You don't have to copy anybody else. But we are going to turn this loose to God. All this stress, Man, can't get the bill paid. I don't know, Pastor, where the money's going to come from. Can we say, God, will you show us a way out of this? But we're going to stand in the position of the barren woman. We're not going to wait till the bill is paid. We're going to shout now that the bill is paid. We're not going to shout after the surgery. We're going to shout now, by his stripes, I am made whole. We're going to do it now. We're going to do it now. Amen. We're going to do it now. Wait till the kids come to Jesus. We're going to praise God for our children saved now. We're going to wait till your husband straightens up. You're going to praise God for your husband now. How many believe it's time to tell the enemy, this is where we stand on this, and we're going to praise God whether you like it or not. So come on, squeeze it a little tighter just for a moment, okay? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I want everybody to hold your hand like a cup. Hold your hand like a cup. Okay, this is the stuff you're carrying, okay? You can put your kid in it. You can put those cashew children in there. Those kids driving you nuts. You can put your finances in it. You can put your future in it. You can put the doctor's prognosis in it. You can take all the nightmares and put it in there. The panic attacks, the anxiety attacks, all of that, put it in there right now. Put your kids in there. Put your marriage in there. Put it in there. Put your future in there. Put it all in there for a moment. And I want you just for a moment to tell the Lord, I'm going to give you this tonight. Just hold your for a cup. I want you just to talk to him for a moment. Come on. Just talk to him for a moment. Let him know, God, I'm going to give this to you. Lord, we hold spiritually in our hands this cup. We've been carrying this burden. We've been carrying the stress and the sleepless nights. God, we're not trying to trivialize this and say, oh, it's all gone, poof. No, Lord, that's not what we're saying. What we are saying is we thrust this issue into your presence. We tell the enemy, we've heard enough about what you said about our kids. We've heard enough about what you said about our bodies. We've heard enough about what you said about our marriage. We've heard all we want to hear about what you say about our money and our future. We are tired of it. This issue is being thrust into the presence of God. I want to go back to the prophetic word that went started. The Holy Spirit said, go back to the prophetic word that came out at the beginning of the service. Twice it came out. Twice, 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 twice. He kept talking about how he wanted you to go. He wanted to go together with you on this issue. He said together. I hear the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to just say this. To take this the way the Holy Spirit would say this to you. Listen closely. God says we're going to do this. He said earlier, we're going to do this together. And he's saying, I'm waiting for you to give me the burden. I'm waiting for you to press this issue into me. And hear me. Watch me work. Obey me. Watch me operate. I'm going to make you pliable. I'm going to help you grow. I'm going to teach you something, but put it in my presence. Now watch this. He says, I want to do it together. And the Holy Spirit, I feel like, wants me to say this to you. God says he doesn't want to work for you. He wants to work with you. God is tired of believers treating him like Santa Claus and like a bellman at their beck and call. He says, don't treat me as if I got to work for you. He says, I'm going to work with you, that as you walk in faith, as you let me teach you, as you step forward, as you press this into me, watch me do great and mighty things through you. Through you. He says, those who love me are going to do incredible exploits for me. Watch me work through you. Now, Father, in our hands, we are going to release this to you. We are going to, we are going to say, with our hands throwing this into the air, we are giving this to you, God. We're going to work together, and you're going to bring this through. Father, we say that as we lift it up, we're going to see our kids go to you. Our marriage go to you. Our sickness go to you. Our financial problems go to you. The dysfunction in our home, God, we say we press it into you. And we are going to sing because we're going to see more blessing. We've watched everybody else's family get blessed. It's time for our family to get blessed. We've watched everybody else get finances. It's time for us to get finances. And we're not going to praise you till you do it. We're going to praise you in the middle of the desolation because you're bringing this thing about. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, in faith, we lift a shout, a song, and a clap offering to you. And we release this now with praise into your presence. Now, saints, come on. Lift up your hands and lift up your voices and let it go. Come on, let it go. 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 Let the song arise. Let the praise arise. Let the praise arise out of the people of God. Whoa! Shout your way to victory. Clap your hands and send judgment on the enemy. Oh! Clap your hands. Attract God. Come on, put judgment on Satan. Scorn Satan. Mock Satan. Ridicule him. Ridicule him. Mock him. Come on, the God of peace is crushing Satan under your feet shortly. It's time to stomp your feet and clap your hands. Put the enemy under your feet. Every place the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, says the Lord. Oh, put it under your feet. Put it under your feet. Oh, God, shout the praises. Come on, in faith. Arise, O God. Arise, O King. Arise over this situation. Woo! Now sing the song. Now sing the praises to God. Oh, bless the Lord. Brother Leon, come on, lead us. Sing it.
We praise you.
We sing it, Lord.
There is a war going on in the heavenly between the powers of God and might. But through our worship, we will be victorious. His word has promised that we win the war. So put your foot on the head of the devil. Clap your hand, lift the triumph. The victory is ours.
to tell you, listen for a second. This isn't just about healings, folks. This isn't just about your kids or your money. You know, the Holy Spirit said, He said, there are folks here that love me that have been bound by strongholds of addictions. Strongholds. Strongholds are those things that seem to keep reoccurring, constant. Some of them follow generation from family to family. Breakup in marriage over after every family just keeps happening. Something keeps on going, strongholds. I'm telling you something. I think we got to do this song again. Some of you need to crush Satan under your feet. When I was up here, I saw that Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. When I was up here, the Holy Spirit brought to mind Joshua chapter 1, where God told them to start possessing the things that belong to the people of God. And what did He say to them? Every place the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given to you. Every place where my people walk in faith, believing and obeying me, is theirs. Is theirs. I believe it's time to take some territory back. I mean, it's time to take some territory back. Time to take some territory back. Now, I know this is kind of crazy. I know this may seem a little crazy to some of you, and some of you may physically not be able to do it. Be careful. Be careful. But you know what you need to do? We need to sing this again, and some of you just need to start going like this. Every place my feet. Satan, what I'm doing physically, I spiritually crush you under my feet shortly. I crush this thing. It is gone. Be removed. Come off of my family. I'm taking back the territory. Listen, the only words the devil ought to read is Nike, the bottom of your tennis shoe. That's all he ought to read. All he ought to read is leather sole. That's all he ought to read. That's the only words he ought to know, because you keep him under your feet. Come on, you ready? Brother Leon, I want you to sing that. Come on, sing that chorus again. And I want some of you to just start, come on, putting them under your feet. Come on. Let's start putting them under our feet. Come on, just do it. Amen? Put him under your feet. Do it. Do it. Yeah, you can do this.
The word of God, or to it, it's all. the chains are broken. Can I hear a shout? Hallelujah! I said all the chains are broken. And I have been set free. Listen to this. Every word you've spoken, it's watching over me. And here's the key. So how can I stay silent when I hear you call my name? Hallelujah. When I hear you call my name, I'm living in your presence. And I'll never be the same. Hallelujah. 'Cause I've been found in you. And
Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that this is a people that have always had a shout of our God among us. And I thank you for what has been reminded in our lives tonight. I thank you for what has been sown into the spirit of people who needed to know the scriptural basis for a shout unto our God, praise unto our God. And I pray, God, that you would grace us with the ability to sustain this every time we come together as people.
Yes, please, Lord.
For it would be one thing to be charged up at a spiritual emphasis weekend and to do this. And it's another thing to, when we gather together next Sunday morning, do it again. And the following Sunday, do it again. And the following Sunday, do it again. Till it becomes something that we're not charged up once to do, but it becomes a way of worship for us. A way of our exalting our Lord and our Savior, which we all know is very biblical. And Lord, I pray that when we come together again and there may be people around us who are not doing this, that we do not let their ignorance of the Scriptures stop us from doing what we know is in the Scriptures. Lord, I realize that this can be very, very attractive, not only to others who are among us who don't worship this way, but to those who will come in from the outside. Because truly, much of the church in America today has been silenced. Evangelical church, traditional church, and I'm so sorry, God, even the Pentecostal church, it's been silenced. May we be a people. May we be a people that are not silenced. May we be a people that worship God the way He's wanted to be worshiped all the way along. And I believe it will attract others to our God. Lord, I thank you for Sam. I thank you for bringing him to us this weekend and the blessing he's been to us in several different sessions. I pray as he travels home tonight, you'd keep him safe from any harm, danger, or accident. I pray the presence of God Jehovah would fill his car on the way home, renew him in his mind, in his spirit. Renew that which you've called him to do at Grand Rapids First. Oh God, I pray that you would bless everything that his hand and Brenda's hand touches. I pray that church would experience an awesome revival. And I pray, Lord, as he studies your word, preparing to minister to his congregation as I do to this one, that he would have such special, special moments hearing from you. And then such an excitement to give to the people that you've put under his care. Lord, I don't know what all their needs are at Grand Rapids First, but I know they're in a major renovation of a project right beside their facility, a $3 million renovation. And I pray you would bless that, oh God. I pray you would do for Grand Rapids First what our addition did for us, because it was an awesome thing it did for us. Much more than just some square footage that was added. You did a dimension in our church that will never be the same because of it. And I pray that would be the same for them. Now, Lord, as we dismiss from this place, we go out into our work week. I pray wherever we go, we would be salt to this earth and light to a dark, dark world. Pray you give us opportunities to witness, forthright, outright, or through relationship. Give us the opportunity to stand up for our God. And also give us a winsome spirit that'll attract people to our God. To this end, we commit ourselves. And we give you all the glory for what has taken place here this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.